Good to have you with us this morning. It's a few new faces as well. Very welcome. We are quite passionate about marriage. It's one of my few passions. And for those that know us, we've been, Sonic and I, we've been married for 13 years. And it's still, it's not that long, but it's still going very well. My wife still can't keep her hands off me, so come on. So that's what we're aiming for, okay? That's what we're aiming from the men's perspective. That's what we're aiming for at the end of this day, that your wife wouldn't be able to keep her hands off you. Unless you're not married yet, okay? I must always qualify. Okay, anyway, there are two types of people. They say they go normally to a wedding. Those who like to leave early, those who like to leave late, and those who like to dance, and those who don't like to dance. And normally those are married to one another. Those who like to leave early and late and dance and not dance. And I just think it's, you know, God has I think he has a sense of humor. He just put a male and a female together and you're going to have sparks. I was thinking of the balloons popping. You know, that's sort of how marriage sometimes goes. It's like a boom. It's can get exciting, can be quite a bit of fun in a negative sense, but also I think the fulfillment of being together and actually working. You know, I've often said it, but for me and Sonica, you know, even as I grew up, you know, a divorced family, and couldn't be in the same room with my mom without fighting. You know, we'd always just fight to have a family, to have a home that there's peace. That you can go home and know that there's peace at home. I think that's just invaluable. Huh? Would you agree? Peace at home. That is, if you don't know it as a child, then it's quite amazing to have it in your life. And it's one of my old props. I've used this before. But I want to give a quick introduction of marriage by design. Then I'll show you a video clip. And then Sonic is going to do the sort of the first session. We're going to have a tea break and eats and things. And then we're going to have another session. So we're going to show you a few video clips this morning as well about marriages and how they were restored. And so I just want to show you. Whoa. Work with me. Come on. Okay. It's just sort of something I felt the Lord drop in my heart the last while. We have, each one of us, you have the heart of your partner in your hands. So it's literally everything you do, everything you say, everything, the way we respond to one another, for us as men, it can be crushing or it can be healing. And for us as ladies, it can be either pushing him away or winning his heart. But I want to hold this before you that we have one another's heart in our hands. And so we influence our hearts. And you want to win one another's hearts. That's the key. That's the mission. That's where you want to get to. You want to win one another's hearts. And so I want to share a few things this morning about how male and female are differently wired. Because I think you need to remind yourself often. Guys, you need to tell yourself, she is female. That means she's different. You need to remind yourself. I sometimes forget this. And same with the ladies. He's not a girl. He's wired differently. And so that's sort of, you need to understand that, because if you forget that, you're going to miscommunicate. And so I've seen it in some marriages. There's an issue, but because they don't know how to communicate in a way that builds one another up and protects one another, it actually causes more chaos and more pain. And causes the issue to completely blow out of proportion. So we are supposed to protect one another's hearts. As a husband, I'm supposed to protect my wife's heart, not damage her heart. In the same way for a wife to her husband. And I think I've shared this before, but I think it's one of the saddest things to see when a married couple who's supposed to build one another up, who's supposed to celebrate one another, who's supposed to cause one another to flourish, and it's actually the opposite happening. It's like they're missing one another, inflicting pain on one another. And so we're going to give you a few keys this morning how to understand how is a woman wired, how is a guy wired, And some of you have probably heard before quite a few times. But the challenge is not just to know what to do. You need to do it. And that's sometimes the challenge, to actually implement it. Okay, so we're going to also give you some time to chat, to discuss some of the things, to actually talk around some of these things, which is also a good thing. So I realize with us, the enemy, I've spoken about this before, but there's evil in the world, and that evil's mission is to divide. To divide. Okay? Say divide. Just want to make sure you're awake. Divide. Okay? And so the enemy's plan is to divide a husband and a wife because a house divided cannot stand. So there's literally spiritual pressure against us and against our marriages. And for us as Christians, especially, when our marriages work, when it's beautiful, it inspires the world. When it doesn't work, it brings a illegitimacy to who we are. You know, preaching about Jesus, preaching about God, all these things, but it's not working at home. It sort of brings people ask questions. And so we need to trust God for beautiful, glorious marriages. So guys, your wife is the greatest gift that God can give you beyond salvation and a relationship with Him. And we need to remind ourselves that. That's why you need to come to these things. So well done for being here. But we need to remind ourselves every now and again. You need to remind myself, look in the mirror, give yourself a good whack. Come on, focus, focus. She's special. Don't get distracted. Invest. Value her. Value her. Value her. You know, we invest in that which we value. If we value our spouse, we will invest in our spouse. And even just this last few months, we've been speaking about relationships. It just stirs in me again. Focus, focus, focus. She's valuable. She's special. She's a gift from God. I need to protect. I need to protect. I need to invest. So we want to speak to you this morning primarily from this book. It's called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerix. Okay. And I want to show you a few video clips of people. This is really sort of the handbook to marriage. It lays the foundation for a godly relationship, for a relationship that works. So I want Dr. Eggerix himself to speak to us about the holy grail of marriage. Are you ready there, Tinas? Let's see if it's going to work. The holy grail of marriage. Sorry, there was an issue. We're trying to do this directly from the internet, which is a bit of a challenge. Okay, let me before we go there then, let me just read to you. I once heard the story of a newly married couple. And the guy was excited. He's going on his honeymoon, and so he said, So he got himself this huge horse, big horse, and they're gonna go out to have their honeymoon. And so his bride gets on, and they chase off, and it's wonderful, wind in their hair. And at some stage, the horse starts giving problems, and. And it's not moving forward. And so the wife says, new bride says, honey, let me handle this. So she says, just stop. She gets off. She points a finger to the horse's face and says, first warning. She gets back up onto the horse. Off they go. Yes, this is awesome. He's thinking, wow, this woman is amazing. This woman, I don't know how she did it, but it's amazing. So they go. Wind in the hair. He's thinking, yes, I'm married. Awesome. Honeymoon. Yeehaw. And some stage, horse gives problems again. So his wife says, don't worry, I'm going to sort it out. She gets off, again, finger in the horse's face, and she says, second warning. Man, that horse focuses again, and they're off. And the husband thinks, this is an amazing wife. Wow, I'm such a lucky man to marry this woman. Third time it happens, horse is being difficult, and so she gets off again, and then she says to the horse, third warning, she takes out a shotgun and she shoots the horse. And the guy's like, honey, was that really necessary? She looks at him and says, first warning. Now, that woman won't get lots of love necessarily, but she will have respect. Okay, so we're going to be speaking about love and respect to you. Okay, from Ephesians 5:33. When you're ready to play, you must play. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. So Ephesians 5:33, this is sort of the foundational, the key that Dr. Egrig speaks of as the Holy Grail. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, so he sort of sums it up. Wives need love. Husbands need respect more than they actually need love. Okay. The crazy cycle basically shows that when a woman, when she doesn't experience love, she will react in a way that is disrespectful to her husband. And then when the husband feels disrespected, he will react in an unloving way. Okay, so that's just really critical to understand. That's in a sense how we are wired, how we are wired. Husbands are called by God to love their wives unconditionally, and wives are called to respect their husbands unconditionally. Okay, so that's sort of the foundation. That is the foundation of a godly relationship. Okay, so let me summarize. This is just a quick introduction. Wives need love more than anything else. They need to feel love, okay? Guys, we need respect. This is what ladies need to understand. We need respect more than we need love. If we feel respect, we feel loved, okay? And that lays a foundation for the rest of the marriage. And so what he basically shared there was that I just should have been able to read it to you now. But anyway, society has been changing over the last 50 years or so. Previously, it was just like women submit and obey type of thing. Women felt unloved and disrespected. Because of the feminist movement and lots of other movements, things have sort of been flipped on its head. We have now a love-focused society. Men are told to love their wives. Wives are told to love their husbands. And that's awesome. But the problem is, men actually need respect more than they need love. Okay? So sometimes a guy, you might ask a guy, okay, so does your wife love you? Absolutely. Yes, I believe that. But I'm not sure if she likes me. You know, it's like, because he doesn't experience respect, doesn't experience that the way she speaks to him. And so before we get into the details of it, I just want to highlight one thing as a foundational aspect of any marriage, any relationship marriage. You need to believe that your partner is good-willed. You need to believe that your partner is good-willed. Okay, so let's say that, good-willed. Good-willed. I have seen in relationships, when there are issues, the one or the other starts to doubt the other's goodwill. In other words, the wife doubts if the husband really loves her. And the husband doubts if the wife really respects him. And because of that doubt, it causes you to get onto that crazy cycle and it just gets wild. Because you doubt if this person is truly good-willed. So you need to start off by believing with all your heart. For instance, I need to believe my wife is good-willed. She's not trying to control me. Because sometimes, guys, we feel like the woman's trying to control us. They're not. They're actually just trying to reach out to us, to connect with us. But it can feel controlling. And then you can say, she isn't good-willed. She just wants to treat me like a child and control me. When we as guys feel like being treated like a child, we shut down. Any guy that's ever shut down, stonewalled, walked away like, oh. Okay. But in the past, I didn't understand how I was wired. The moment I feel disrespected, I shut down. The moment. tone of voice, way of speaking. It's like immediately something on the inside of me that's wired. The way I'm wired, every man, most men are wired like there's something on the inside of you just gets up and gets angry. And you don't even know why you are angry, but something on the inside of you is now angry. Because we are wired, and he spoke in the video clip, he spoke of that. It isn't evil. It isn't that you are full of yourself. It's actually just that this is how God has designed us as men. Our love language is respect. If someone respects us, you win our hearts. But if someone disrespects us, immediately our hearts get lost in the process. So believe the other person is good-willed. So, guys, do you get up in the morning deciding, I want to be unloving towards my wife? Good answer. Ladies, do you get up in the morning and you decide, I want to disrespect my husband today. I want to freak him out. Obviously not. In other words, we are good-willed. Each one of us, if we are anyway normal, we are good-willed. We want to love our partner. We want to honor and respect our partner. But somehow life happens and it just doesn't work out like that. The other day, a while ago, I was staying with a couple in Cape Town. And seems like the lady battles to mornings is tough on her. So, so I'm sitting there and they've got a few kids, and so her husband must now help with the porridge for the kids. And at some stage, the husband tried to do something from around the corner or something, and it fell over, and then so she flipped, like, "Sin jy nou? Wat jy nou weer gedoen het? Yeah, can you see what you've just done?" You know, and then she jumps in there, and she's irritable, and she's negative, and she's disrespectful, and it's just, I'm like, whoa, okay, sit terug. Stay out of it. And then a day or two later, we were chatting, and she said, "Yeah, it's very hard. You know, it's very hard to fake it at home." She admits. So she says it's easier for out there, even in church world with church people, she fakes it. She puts on the nice face, but at home you can't. You know, and so that spoke to me of that we need help. We need God. The principles are simple, but we actually need God's help. And so we want to pray for you this morning as well that God would really help you. But it starts with believing. Okay, you need to believe your partner's good-willed. Okay, she's not trying to control me. She's wanting to connect with me. She loves me. He is good-willed. He loves me. He's not trying to stonewall or be not speak to me or not draw near to me. You need to believe your partner's goodwill. Okay, that's the first step. Second step is you need to believe that you can make this work. You can do this. Sometimes we lose hope over time. Sometimes when it's not been working, Bible says that when hope deferred makes the heart sick. So when you don't experience the romance or you don't experience the respect in the relationship, over time you can actually lose hope and give up. So you need to start saying, I believe I can do this. Even if I failed many times, even if I've been unloving as a guy, even if I've been disrespectful as a lady, I can do this. Okay, so let's say that I can do this. Even if you failed many times, you need to say, I can do this. God will help me to do this. Okay, so God believes in you. So wherever you've been, whatever challenges you've been through, God can turn it around and make it precious and holy and blessed. Okay, so just a last thing here, and then Sonic is going to share. A wife shared after her husband strayed into an affair, "I realized that my husband had cheated with this woman, not because of her looks or personality or because she was anything so great, but rather because she was his captive audience. She thought he hung the moon. Every remark he made to her was witty. Everything he did was perfect. In her eyes, he was the most handsome, intelligent, funny man in the world. He needed an ego boost, and she was ready and willing to be that for him." The power of respect. You see, if a man feels disrespected at home, his heart shuts down and his heart can then start traveling. doesn't justify it. It never justifies when your heart and your affections go somewhere else. But it's a greater temptation. You know, if you feel, I've often spoken to people who, even in the ministry, you know, they would share with me how at home the wife is just disrespecting, dishonoring, trampling all over him over and over and over again. But then he goes to church and he's a preacher and everyone thinks he's this amazing man of God. But at home, his wife dishonors him. That's a massive open door for temptation. Can be same in the business world or wherever. Somewhere else you get respect, but at home you don't. You see, our society has not, it has massively shifted where men are being trampled on and said they're not good enough, they're not loving enough. And actually all a man really wants is to be someone's hero. Ladies, you can do it. You can build up your husband. You can tell him. You can believe in him. And so the core of this teaching, and I want to point you to the content and to the book and to the video clips and so forth, is that when, as husbands, we must give unconditional love, and as wives, we must give unconditional respect. Okay, but Sonika is going to share a few things about that. Okay, so ask yourself the question, what are you communicating to your partner? Are you communicating husband's love? Ladies, are you communicating respect? What does he feel? What does she feel? How is he or she experiencing it? Okay, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. Okay, so just want to pray for us, and then Sonic is going to go. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And we just pray, God, you come and release hope into every heart. Lord, come and release inspiration into every heart here this morning. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Well done for coming. There are many reasons why we do a morning like this. And I think many of you might think this is because we want to live happily ever after, hey? We all want to live happily ever after. That is just a small portion, really, of why we would do something like this. You know, when we get married, we don't really think much further. We don't even think about babies and children yet on our wedding day. But God thinks generations. He thinks about your child and their children. And he doesn't even think about generations in terms of your own children. He thinks of generations in terms of the people you're going to impact in your lifetime as a couple. And so I just want to encourage you this morning is far more than just the two of you in isolation. It's about equipping you to bring hope to a world that has lost hope, that a marriage can work, that a relationship can work. It's about you being equipped to inspire other people and to just show that we don't have to be perfect, but by God's grace, we can actually make it work. Okay, so I just want to just hold that, you know, in front of you, that there's something about a marriage covenant where two people come together in unity, where when you pray together, God says, where there's two people agreeing on anything on this earth, mountains will move when they pray. And this is always why Andre and I, we just fight for our unity at all times, because we know it's not only about us, it's about what we're going to impact and who we are going to impact when we pray and when we do things together. So a married couple coming together in unity, doing things where there's a common purpose, where there's a oneness in heart and in mind, you have no idea what God can do through you. So this is why these mornings are so important. It's not only about us having a great relationship. Yes, it's part of it. But God wants to use you. The moment you connect in unity, there's nothing that can really stop you in terms of the impact that you're going to make on this world. Amen? So I just want to show you a little cartoon on the screen. It's very small, eh? But it's about a date night, okay? The husband and wife, they're getting ready for date night. The husband is in the shower singing, getting ready, you know, getting the poor wife, okay, if you can see that, running around with the kids, trying to feed them, trying them to get ready, and then the husband walks out the room and he asks her, "Aren't you ready yet?" She's like, "You don't get it. You don't know." And I think sometimes we just, you know, we communicate pink as women. If you don't like pink, choose any color. But, you know, we communicate pink, but our husbands, they hear in blue, okay? They communicate in blue, we hear in pink. So this is often why we miss each other, not because we don't love each other, just because there's a communication gap that we need to find each other. So I want to encourage you this morning to put on a different pair of glasses. Let's be open-minded, okay? Let's say, okay, God, this is what I've always believed. This is how I reason. This is how I see marriage or see life or see female or male. But let's just be open-minded this morning. So, okay, God, maybe I've heard this 10 times before or 100 times, but let's be open-minded. Let's say, okay, maybe I've heard it before, but I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to just get God's perspective. Instead of hearing blue and communicating pink, let's hear what God says. Let's hear the way God wants to communicate to us. Okay? Are you ready for that? Okay, so how many of you, if you are married or the woman, how many of you know your husband's love language? You have an idea what is his primary love language. Okay, few of you. For those of you who don't know, there's a book called The Five Love Languages. I have a table there with a few resources. So we will, every now and again in this morning, we all refer to a specific book, and there are a few that you can just have a look at. But there's a book called The Five Love Languages, and it's very helpful just to identify your partner's or your spouse's primary love language, because that also helps you to understand that if you bless them with gifts all the time, and roses and chocolates and expensive holidays, but they hardly ever see you because you're so busy. So, and now you can't understand why she's not happy. You know, you're blessing her out of her socks. You spending money on her, but all that she wants is you. She wants to see you. She wants to talk to you. She wants to spend time with you. So it's a great help if we can identify our spouse's love language. But for a man, the underlying, like Andre just said, the underlying love language and the way we need to relate to them as a wife is respect. So no matter what you do, no matter how much you speak his language, if it's not in a respectful manner, it's actually not going to count for the man. Okay, so, and I know the world says that respect must be earned. You know, it's like Andre said, we all understand unconditional love, but when it comes to unconditional respect, we get a little bit, you know, uptight. No. This can't be. You know, respect must be earned. But you see, in a covenant relationship, in a marriage relationship, respect should be unconditional. That is a secret. It's a key. Okay, even though everything in us kicks against that thought or that argument that respect must be unconditional, that is a secret in your marriage. And I've seen it with me and Andre. If I respect him conditionally, if I respect him only when I feel that he deserves my respect, I lose him. We lose our unity, we lose our intimacy. But when I respect him unconditionally, whether he makes a mistake, whether he acts like a child, in my opinion, whether he, he never acts like a child in his opinion, obviously. When I come to a place where I respect him unconditionally, I gain so much. And I've seen it. I've felt it. I've seen the difference in my own marriage. We gain so many intangibles, or I gain so many intangibles. I gain closeness and intimacy, unity. I gain a platform to speak into his life. He listens to me. He has grace for my mistakes, my weaknesses. I just gain so much. So I've seen both pictures in my marriage. I would respect conditionally and where I would respect unconditionally. And what I've gained by doing it unconditionally is what I want. I actually get what I want when I do that, even though it's the more difficult one that we can't do in our own strength. So I'm just going to go through a few very practical things with you. I'm not going to show the video clip anymore. Okay. All right. We have to respect a husband's desire to work and achieve. Okay, that is a very integral part of his life, his makeup, is whatever he does in terms of a job. That's very important to him. His identity is very much linked to his job. So if we as wives imply that his job is not important, or that whatever he does is a little bit, you know, uncool, we in a sense call him a loser. This is what he hears. This is what he perceives. That if we think whatever he does is unimportant, it's not making any difference, or that he's not doing a good job in his work environment, we in a sense call him a loser. So we have to believe in them. We have to believe in our husbands, even when they make a mistake, and that is the big one. I mean, it's easy to believe in a man who's perfect, eh? It's easy to believe in a woman who is perfect, but we need to come to a place that even when they make a mistake, we have to believe in him. You see, the whole world can think that your husband is amazing. But if you don't think he's amazing, it's not really going to count. On the other hand, the whole world can think your husband is a loser. But if you tell him that he's awesome and that he's your hero and he's going to make it, it's gonna count. All right? So it's not really about what the world thinks. It's about what we think as a wife. We've got it in us to either make or break the man that God has given you. You know, I've just seen that the best way actually for our husbands to learn is when they make a mistake. But in us, in a wife, there's something that wants to keep them from making a mistake. It's like that mothering instinct, I suppose. We want to teach and train our children. We don't want our children to make mistakes. So, but what happens then, we project that onto our husbands. We just don't make a mistake. Just don't make a mistake. And we feel God is, this is our role. I mean, we are their helper. We must help them, you know, not to make a mistake. Where I've seen with us, the best fruit that has ever come from, you know, a scenario where I actually wanted to protect it, Andre, not to make a mistake. The fruit that has come from his mistake, from just me saying, okay, make the mistake, it was far better than me, wanting to almost treat him like a child and not wanting him to make a mistake. Are you all with me? It's sometimes the best way for a guy to learn. I know I'm speaking on behalf of guys here this morning. If you don't agree with anything I say, you're welcome just to raise your hand and say, I object, okay? I give you permission. But I've seen in our marriage that Andre had to make mistakes here and there, and the fruit that has come from that was really awesome. We have to listen to their work stories as closely as we expect them to listen to our stories. We have to listen to their work stories, you know. We have to allow them to dream. And I've made that mistake many a time where, you know, Andre is a much bigger thinker than I am. I'm a more detailed person. I'm a more, you know, think about all the detail and the consequences in that moment. You know, where Andre would just dream about what God is going to do and where the church is going to go. And I just think, who's going to do it? And how much time is this going to take? And where's the money going to come from? You know, I just focus so much in the detail that I crush his dream so often. You know, I had to learn to just to sit and let him dream with me and not come with, but what about this and what about this and how are we going to do this and who's going to do it? And, you know, I had to learn to allow him just to dream. where I'm always the one who's thinking about all the detail, and we can so easily just crush them when they start talking. And you see, some of our husbands don't even talk that much. That is the problem. So when they do talk, we have to cherish that moment because he's talking. You know, he's talking, he's sharing his heart, he's sharing his dream. But we can so easily in that moment just blow his bubble when we come with all our questions and all our, you know, concerns and all our arguments against, is this dream really going to work? You know, this is very far-fetched. But or even if we just think it, you know, we must just be in it when they start talking to us. Okay, so we have to respect his desire to work and achieve. We have to respect his desire to protect and provide, which is a heart attitude. It's not really about how much money they make. It's about respecting that desire in him to work, to achieve, to protect, to provide for us as his wife or as his family. So we have to never in any way put down his job or how much money he makes. I remember when we got married, Andrea was still studying. I was busy with my third-year articles at an auditing firm in Stellenbosch. So we had to now try and figure this out because I was the one with the income. He was still studying. And it was new to me as well. Nobody really taught me now how to do this. And I remember the guys at work, they said to me, Sonika, how is this now going to work? You are working, Andre is still studying. You're earning an income, he's not earning anything. Are you going to give him pocket money or what? And I said to them, no. My money is his money. And, you know, it's we are one. They looked at me like, do you have a twin sister or something we can get married to? But I had to really evaluate the whole situation because I knew in that from the very beginning, I can either lose him or I can win his heart in the area of finances. You see, for a long time, I also earned more than Andre did. And we can very easily go to a position of, I'm the one with a bigger income, so I make the decisions, and you need to ask me for money because I have the bigger income. So what we did is I just got a secondary credit card. I didn't even have a credit card up until that stage. But I realized the easiest for us now to just pool our money together, or the bit that I had, is to get one account, two cards, and he's got access to the money at any time, whenever he needs to buy anything. And you know what? Thinking back, I praise God for that decision that I made because, as I say, nobody really advised me on this. I just knew I want to respect him in this area. He's still going to be the head of the home, even though he's not earning money at that stage. And I'm so thankful that I did it because for us, it brought us together in such an amazing way. I mean, I even would, in that time, ask him if I could buy something, you know, because we had very little money and we had to really talk about what we buy and what we don't buy. But I could have very easily just gone the route of, it's my money, I'm earning it, I'm spending it the way I want. And I just realized it's going to crush that something between us, that the desire in him to protect and provide. I mean, we know about a situation where the wife also earns more than the husband, still earns more than the husband, and she just one day bought him a car. Okay, maybe some of you might think this is cool. My husband didn't really think that's cool. So she just went and bought him a car without asking him what he likes, I don't know, guys, would you like that? You're very quiet, but... Oh, it depends on the car. Okay. It depends on the car. But my husband told me, even if it's the car that he wanted, even if it's the car that he really has been dreaming about, it's not going to be the same, you know? For me, just taking my money and buying him a car as if he's a little boy who wants a toy or something, you know? He's my husband, so he wants to be part of the decision-making process when it comes to these kind of things. So I think we've just learned that small things can make a big difference. You know, when it comes to respecting your husband, small things where you honor him regardless of your position, regardless of your job. You know, you could maybe be in a manager position as a woman and your husband is maybe not. But it's not really the point. Or you could earn more than him. But it's not the point. God has appointed him as the head of the house. And if we miss that, if we miss that position that God has given him, we're gonna lose him. We're going to lose him. So I just want to encourage you. There's not always a right and a wrong or a textbook answer for every situation. But the key is to honor him, to respect him, and to give him that position as the head of the house. So respect also his desire to serve and to lead. You see, you are a team as a married couple. You're a team, but sometimes a team needs a captain. Okay? If the box... Now, I mean, who of you watched last week's game? We should have actually scored 4 tries, and then it was raining. It was a disaster, but in any case. But, you know, in situations where everything gets tense, and now everybody wants to run with the ball because we need to score a try, or somewhere there must be a captain in a team, okay? Because sometimes if everything is easy and everybody agrees with everything, I mean, it's not so crucial that there must be a team leader making a decision. But the moment there's lots of opinions, the moment there are more than one option to take and somebody must make a call, I mean, you have to have somebody who's just saying, okay, no, we're going for posts now. We're not running with the ball, even though everybody wants to run. Or somebody needs to now make a decision. And in a marriage, it's the same thing. You know, it's not as if your husband is going to be this controlling person and you just need to submit and you just always need to do what he says. It's not like that. It's not supposed to be like that. But sometimes you as a couple, you are a team, but sometimes you need somebody who can make a final decision on something. And that person is the man. Okay, that person is your husband. And you see, we have to give them authority to make a call, but we also need to give them grace if they make the wrong call. That is the most important. You see, we have to give them authority sometimes to make a decision, but if they make the wrong decision, we need to give them grace. This is how they learn. This is why I said in the beginning, sometimes the best way for them to learn is to make a mistake. And it doesn't mean that you can't say that you're not comfortable with the decision. It doesn't mean that you should just sit in the corner and not say anything. I mean, I can give you many examples where I would tell Andre, I feel uncomfortable about this. He's convinced. He's convinced that God is speaking to him. We must do it, or he must do it. Then I tell him, I feel uncomfortable. You know, it's. I don't have 10 logical reasons. I don't have it. I feel uncomfortable, okay? It's not always good enough for a man, I know. But we have learned that the moment I feel uncomfortable, we have come to a place where we stop the bus. Why? Because there were times in the past where I would feel uncomfortable, and when Andre would be convinced that God is speaking to him, and he actually made a mistake. You see, but I can handle it in 2 different ways. I can tell him, you see, I told you. I told you, you should have listened to me. Okay, I can either take that approach of, you know, treating him now like a little boy, you've messed up. I told you. I told you. Or I can say, we're in it together. I did tell him that I feel uncomfortable. He knows very well that I felt uncomfortable. So, he knows in a sense that I was right, okay? But now to rub it in his face is going to not help. But to stand back and to say, we're in covenant, we messed up together. It's not easy, okay? It's really not easy. But let me tell you what you're going to gain through that. Next time, he's actually going to ask your opinion. next time is actually going to check with you, how do you feel about it? And if you come again with this, I feel uncomfortable, he might just listen to you. Okay, so this is what we have gained. But I've realized many a time, and I don't get it right always, okay? I don't get it right always, but I've made a right decision a few times in our marriage, and it opened a wide door for us now to have absolute security whenever there's a big decision, because I know, I feel safe. I know Andre is not going to announce to me tomorrow we're moving to China, and God has spoken. Because it was a big fear for me at a stage in my life that my husband is just going to wake up one morning and God has spoken and there we go. But we've come to a place where I have so much peace, I have so much security, because we have learned to work this thing together as a team with him as the captain. Okay? So, we also have to, when it comes to disagreeing with your husband, disagree with him in private only. You know? We all have situations, you know, where our husband tells a story and he's just getting half of the facts wrong. And you're very focused on the facts and the detail. And you're like, no, it wasn't 10 people. It was 12 people. No, it wasn't 2.5 hours. It was 2 hours and 31 minutes. You know, we can get so uptight about our husband's telling a story and we feel he's lying and he's dishonest. But in the meantime, he's just telling a story. And I've also learned that sometimes we just need to back off, you know. We need to back off from getting so uptight when they share something in public that is not 100%, you know, the way you would have shared. But to, when you then disagree, to disagree with him in private, not in front of everybody, okay? It's very disrespectful. It's very humiliating. If we as wives forever, I mean, I'm not talking about once or twice. I'm talking about forever correcting him. Like, Andre has a story. His dad and his mom had a business lunch with people. It was his dad's business colleagues. And he was telling a story, and then his mom corrected his grammar in front of everybody. I don't know exactly what the problem was, an S or an R somewhere. You know, and on their way home, I mean, the relationship was vulnerable already, but on their way home, apparently he was screaming at her all the way. So it was like a small thing, but obviously it must have happened often. And then it was just like the cherry on the cake. She humiliated him in front of, you know, all the people, and he just couldn't take it anymore. So we have to learn to disagree with him in private, you know. We have to learn not to treat him like a child or like one of your employees. I remember when I moved from a 30-article clerk, I became assistant manager in Stellenbosch. And then I had the article clerks working for me. Well, not working for me, but I had to train them and help them. You know, and when I moved from that into that position, I noticed that I would now start managing my husband. You know, getting home. I didn't even notice it at first. It took me a while to realize I'm now making to-do lists for Andre as well, because that's what I had to do for the article clocks, you know. You need to do this and this and this and this, and you must tell me when it's done, and I need to know, you know, what's going on. So I started doing the same with Andre, and I quickly realized, I need to back off, change my hat. I'm not a manager at home, I'm a wife. And I think we often make the mistake. Even when we teach our children, it's different to when I teach, or not teach, we're not teaching our husbands, but we kind of train them in a way, you know, subtly. You know, the other day there was, on our coffee table, there were plates, empty plates, you know, both Andre and Vian's plates. Or I can't remember, maybe just one plate. And I said, whose plate is this? So I said, if it's the big king, you see, Vian understands that Andre is the king. Vian is the little king, Andre is the king, and Jesus is the, you know, he understands now the order. So he says, if it's a big king's plate, I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, he knows what I'm talking about. But if it's the little king's plate, he must take you to the kitchen, you know. And we have to somehow talk in a different way to our children than to our husband. And I think when you have kids, it gets complicated, you know. I have to train Vian. I have to tell him you must brush your teeth. I can't ask Andrea if you brushed your teeth. I mean, it's ridiculous. But sometimes we kind of, it sneaks into the way that we speak to our husband because we have different roles. You have a mother's hat you put on, and then you have a wife's hat that you put on. And then when you're at work, you have a different hat that you put on. And we need to learn to change our hats. And the hat you put on as a wife is very different to the one you put on as a mother or as an employee, especially if you are in a manager position at work where you have people working for you. The moment you walk into your house and you communicate with your husband, you're a wife. You're a wife. So we must learn to change our hats. Okay? We must learn to change our hats. I always teach Vian that daddy is the king. So the one day, some of you might have heard this story. The one day Andre got up and he helped himself to some ice cream in the freezer. And he just walked up back to his office. He didn't offer me anything, didn't offer Vian anything. We were sitting on the couch and Vian looked at me and he said, "Mama, why can daddy have ice cream?" You know, it's like, because normally Vian needs to ask me, you know. Andre doesn't ask, he just takes it, you know. He can't figure this thing out. So he thought, I didn't answer him. He thought a bit, and then he said, "Is it because daddy is the king?" I said, "Yes, my boy, it's because daddy is the king." But I just realized that, For your children as well, they must know that daddy has certain privileges, okay? He has certain privileges. He's the king. And, yeah, I know. I mean, we can talk a lot about husband having to help you in the house, and Andre will talk about that, okay? There's two sides to it. However, we can always choose whether we're going to take the respectful route or the disrespectful route. Whatever. I mean, Andrea and I have had many discussions about, I mean, my two primary love languages. The first one is quality time. So I want to spend time with him. That's why probably why we work together. And the other one is acts of service, which is not necessarily big on Andrea's list in terms of his love languages, because often we do for somebody else that is part of, that we really enjoy, you know. So if somebody would help me with anything or just do the dishes or clean the house, I mean, I just feel so loved. But we need to understand that we need to grow in a position where we must learn how to speak one another's love language, okay? And we can't judge one another if they don't speak it perfectly. We have to, at all times, communicate respect all times. Even if he's driving, if your husband's driving, he's taking the wrong turn off or the longer route. I mean, we always know the short routes, eh, as women, because we need to do a million of things, so we know how to get there quickly. We have to allow the king to drive his car, okay? We have to allow the king. You know, I learned just to shut up. In the car, I learned to shut up. Andre is a very good driver. I have nothing to complain about, but he doesn't drive the way I would drive. You know, I have my way of getting into a specific lane, and then I just relax. Andre's got, no, this car is too slow. Let's change the lane. Okay, no, this one is too slow. Let's change back into the left one. I'm like, take the left one, and then I daydream in the car. You know, it's not so important for me to get to my destination 1 minute faster. Oh, 1 minute faster then. But I had to learn to shut up in the car. You know how irritating it is when somebody tells you how to drive? Even if you're the woman, maybe the men are the backseat drivers here. I don't know. Men don't like it when their wives tell them how to drive. But let me tell you, we don't like it either. You know, we've had a few situations where I also, now I'm driving, it's not happening a lot, but, you know, a few times. Then Andre also tells me how to drive, and I thought, I don't like this. I don't like this. This is why I decided I'm going to shut my mouth in the car, because I don't like it. So I'm not going to do it to him. So don't do it to each other, okay? Zip your mouth in the car. Respect is desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Men communicate by doing things together. We communicate by talking, okay? It's a generalization, so it's not always the same thing. But sometimes your husband just wants you to sit next to him while he's doing something, okay? Fishing, watching rugby. You know, Andre likes his Marvel comics, you know, Thor, Captain America, what's all those, Avengers, all those things, okay? So he likes me just to watch it with him, okay? Maybe it's not your thing. Maybe you like fishing. Maybe you like something else. You just want your wife to be there, okay? So we need to ask ourselves as wives, are we fun to be with? I need to ask myself that often when it comes to having fun. Am I fun to be with? Or am I a spoil sport? You know? Am I fun to be with? I need to challenge myself all the time. Does your husband know that you like him? It's like Andre said earlier. You know, I think all our husbands kind of know that we love them, but they're not always so convinced that we like them. Okay, there's a big difference. We need to communicate that we like them. We have to make an effort to understand their hobbies, their interests. We have to get into their world. You know, even if maybe he's explained to you 100 times the cricket rules, you know, and you still can't figure it out. A 5-day test. 5 days. You know, 5 days. You know, my dad is mad about cricket, so he taught me everything. Well, I just watched with him, so I learned a lot from the commentators. So, I mean, a 5-day test is quite... How many of you watch cricket? Okay, a few. How many of you don't watch cricket at all? Okay, also... Oh, okay. Okay, so maybe you also don't know what a 5-day test is all about. But... Just get into your husband's world. Fishing is something else. I mean, I know nothing about fishing. If Jan wants to fish, then we need to get somebody to help him, because both Andre and I are not, you know, it's not Andre's thing, fishing. But we just need to hang with him, okay? Get into your husband's world. It's gonna do so much for your relationship if you just once. Do what he really loves. Do it with him, even if you just sit there. Get into his world. Okay, last one. Last one before we're going to have a bit of a chat between the husband and wives. Respect his desire for sexual intimacy. Okay, maybe one of the most important ones for the guys. You see, just as the devil, I want you to listen to this. As the devil will do anything to get two people together sexually before marriage, he will do anything to keep you apart after marriage. And I need you to understand this, because there's often, I mean, it's a mad world out there when it comes to sexual things happening before marriage. It's after marriage that it often becomes a problem in a married relationship, you know, where it's not so fun anymore, not so cool anymore, or there's problems. So this is why we need to know as women that a man has a, as we as have a need, as women has a need for FaceTime, for emotional release through talking, not only talking, but FaceTime, undivided attention. A man has a physical need for sexual release, okay? I know it's a mixed crowd now. It's sometimes easier to just talk to the ladies about this. But I felt very strongly we just need to speak about a few things. So if, you know, there's many reasons why they say what kills a woman's sex drive, for example. But if you think back about that cartoon that I showed you right at the beginning, the poor woman running around, the man getting ready for his date night. Let me tell you, there's a million things a woman needs to do that the men are probably not even aware of. Definitely in our household, there's so many things I do. Andre doesn't even know that I do them. So, in my opinion, the biggest enemy that can kill a woman's sex drive is exhaustion, especially if you have kids. Okay, you are just too tired. which means that you need to somehow communicate about a good time or a better time, at least. A better time that's going to work for you. You see, we have to fight for this thing in marriage because it's the sexual intimacy that you experience, that is the one thing that is exclusively yours. You know, you need to share your husband at work with many people, and they are in contact with many people. Sometimes they work long hours, but your sexual intimacy is yours and yours alone. But the devil will do his ultimate best to steal that from us. So as a woman, we need to understand that, you know, sometimes we think this is the only thing men think about is sex. However, there's an underlying, a deeper underlying need, and that is for respect. You see, if our husbands need to beg us for sex all the time, he's going to feel disrespected. Okay? So girls, we can't be tired all the time, right? We need to somehow talk about it and make a plan and figure something out that's just going to work for you in your relationships. I had girls speaking to me saying that it's actually easier for them in the mornings because then they're not so tired. But anything after 9 o'clock or 8:30, you know, we also kind of have a cut-off time, but Andre doesn't really respect my cut-off time. But if it's a major problem in terms of exhaustion, I mean, how many of the girls would agree with me that is actually a big reason why we just don't feel up to it? Please communicate. Please talk about it. Please rearrange your life to make time, and to make time when both of you are rested. Also, stress, a big reason why it can kill your sex drive and your sexual intimacy. Okay, so wives, it is totally fine to initiate sex from time to time. In fact, we have to initiate it from time to time, okay? It makes your husband feel that, you know, he gets respect in that area as well. So I give you permission, as a married woman, to initiate sex from time to time, and that you communicate to your husband that it is enjoyable. Okay, if we don't enjoy it, they don't enjoy it. All right, this is how I understand it from my personal advisor in this area. So if we don't enjoy it, we might as well leave it. Okay, we have to communicate that we enjoy it. So I just want to encourage you. This is a big topic for a whole morning, but if any of you battle in the area of sexual intimacy, please speak to somebody. Please talk about it. Sometimes also things that happened in our past in terms of our sexuality can influence us in marriage. So, for example, if you had, as a couple, sometimes people think, I'm getting married to the person in any case, so why is sex before marriage then so wrong? It's not as if you just slept around with 10 people. It's just this one exclusive person, and you're getting married in any case. It can do a great damage to your marriage relationship, because there's a certain portion of trust that disappears if you have had sex before marriage, especially for the girl. So if it happened to any one of you and you're battling in that area, it often happens that the girl then is not interested in marriage because there's a trust relationship that got damaged before the time. So whatever your situation is and whatever happened, God is faithful to restore. God is faithful to restore. And let me tell you, it must be enjoyable for the girl as well. It's supposed to be enjoyable for the woman as well. Okay? It's not supposed to be one-way traffic and the man getting sexual release and the poor woman just doing her duties. Okay? It's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It can be enjoyable for both parties. So I just want to encourage you to do whatever it takes. Speak to somebody. Read a book. There's a good book. There's a few resources on that table. It's a book called Sheet Music. We also recommend that to the couples who get married, but let me tell you, we always read up on these things before we get married. And then 5 years down the line, it's not going so great, but we kind of think, you know, I'm going to read a book now. Read a book. Do what it takes. Speak to somebody. Pray about it. Communicate. Don't allow the devil to steal this part of your relationship. Okay, God intended it to be awesome and glorious.